on 98FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Ronnie.
Barrier going through. Fairbrother, yes! But there was a lot of pushing and shoving claimed by Harris, but I don't think it was any unfair pushing and shoving. Fairbrother has scored. He and Barrier were there together, and it's 3-2 and draw.
Oh, does his job. Dean Cox again. This time he's in. At the second time of asking, Dean Cox takes Leighton Orient to step closer to Wembley.
Carroll. Jonathan Tahue. Capable of anything. Tahue! Equaliser for Leighton Orient.
We're not a city. We're not a town. We're the only one of us around, and you know where we can be found. When Saturday comes again, we'll be trying to do our best to cheer all those on who wear the vest. Whatever challenge, whatever test, we'll lay an Orient from E10. Lay an Orient from E10.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome along to another edition of the Orient Hour. Hope you're having a great week, and life's good in the garden. And in our little garden, we've got Barry Galvin.
Yeah, you make me sit in the garden now, don't you? Can I come in, please?
Yeah. My little gnome. How are you?
I'm just looking through the window. Yeah, not so bad.
Yeah, good man, good man. And Darian Barrows to my right, how are you?
I'm all good, thanks, Andy.
Good man. And you were at Burton on the weekend, weren't you?
I was at Burton.
Went for a bone.
He went for a Burton, and that's the first thing we'll be talking about tonight, because not that eventful, was it?
It's one of those, I think the expression is, it won't live long in the memory.
Mm-hmm.
It's fair to say.
What one?
The game.
What game?
Oh, God.
He's started already. He's early, isn't he?
Yeah. I've got a trapdoor button early here if he plays up.
I mean, we might need it.
Down the trapdoor.
That's why he's sitting in the garden, Bell, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a game, really, Andy, that really, for me, Jordan Graham, you know, happened right in front of us, and you could tell straight away the lad was in a bit of trouble. He was thumping the ground, and I just put my hands in my head at the time, because for me, we were better with him in the team. Mm-hmm. He was the supply chain, and I felt that with him in that team, Andy, I felt we could do something this season. I'm not quite so sure now, because we're looking at, what, 6-8 weeks now before we can get...
Before January.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we could have Dan Adjoye back. And that's, I think, because I sat with Dan, we had an international day the other day, didn't we? And I think that's how you pronounce his name, Adjoye. So I think Agile, people, is Adjoye. So we've got him coming back, but I don't think that's going to be until at least January.
The problem is he's not going to be fit till January.
Yeah.
And then even if you say he's fit at the start of January, Bell, yeah?
Yeah.
We've realistically got to give the lad four or five games to get up to speed.
Yeah.
So you've got to introduce him in slowly, haven't you?
I think with Jordan Graham, you know, with Northampton with Dan, and I said to him, you know, at the time when we drove enough, I said, we've got to get the ball to Jordan Graham more, because he gets the crosses in near enough every time. He doesn't have to beat his man. The crosses come in, they're accurate. In fact, I was actually bemoaning in that game the lack of chances created from such good crossing. You'd expect more attempts on goal from such brilliant crossing in the box. And no sooner as I said it than, you know, 10 minutes into the next match, he's gone, you know.
Honestly, guys. He
must be gutted. He's such a good guy as well.
Yeah, everything I've seen of him in social media, all the interviews he's done for the club, he comes across really knowledgeable in terms of football. Yeah. And just comes across as a nice man. And you want nice people to succeed, don't you?
Yeah, and he just got up to speed, I thought. You know, you could tell the first few games he had the talent, but he wasn't quite, you know, match fit, sharp. And he just literally got that rhythm, and he's gone for it. And that's football. But and it seems so innocuous as well. I mean, I saw the replay. When it first happened, you thought, if it's that bad, you'll see when the replay happens what's happened. But you can't really. There's no obvious twist
or pole. I
think it's
just standing foot.
Yeah,
I think
nothing where you went
right in front of me.
Know?
And the Burton defender, well, not defender, the Burton player.
We didn't touch him, did he?
No. And a few of the fans around me were sort of bemoaning the sort of time it was taking for the medics to get on and the stretcher to get on. And it did take a. They didn't run, but equally, I know that Jordan's come out and said how well they were looked after at Burton. I have to say, we did some hospitality up there, guys, and they were very good. You know, I credit where credit's due. Burton is a very nice, well-run club, and I think
that's
they
nice
did
to hear.
Look after him on the day.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, isn't it? I mean, it happens, I'm afraid. But you have to turn it around the other way now, is that with the squad we've got, somebody is going to be given an opportunity.
Well, the problem is, though, Andy, Jordan replaced the man.
Yeah, I know what we're saying.
So he was the man to replace the man. And we have now only got one winger. Now, we've got options. I'm sure Jaden Sweeney can play as a wing-back, Bell, can't he?
I think, unfortunately, no one's irreplaceable, so to speak, the saying goes, but I think he was the only person who was capable of doing what he was doing. He's not, you know, putting out a ball in the box consistently with quality. I don't see anybody else in our squad, as good as it is, who can actually do that at this present time.
I totally agree. The closest we've got who can do that is Theo.
Yeah. He does totally better on the left. Yeah.
Yeah. So we dare I say it, we'll come on to the little chat I had with Richie today and later perhaps, but dare I say it, I think we're going to have to change our shape.
Yeah, I mean, it's an age-old question at the moment. Everyone's asking, does he know his best formation? Does he know his best team?
Well, he was comfortable playing that formation. He wouldn't be playing otherwise. No. As a manager, he'd got comfortable with that system. And that system, whilst it left us exposed on the left-hand side quite often because we were asking an awful lot of the wing-backs. You are in that system. The upside of it, we were getting forward and we were getting crosses in. And it was almost like Rule and Piggott had no excuses.
That's right, yeah. I think we could have done with a proper number nine, if you like, on the end of those sort of crosses. But, it may have to change shape now. We'll see. And we've got, obviously, a week where we haven't got a league fixture. I suppose we'll come on to talking about that later, won't we, Andy? Mm-hmm. But, we'll see what happens.
Okay, well, as first of all, as we're talking about Burton, hear what Richie had to say to Dave Victor after the match.
Richie, thanks for joining us. Can I start with Jordan Graham? Just how bad is that injury?
Yeah, we think he's done his ACL, so it's probably the main disappointment today, even more than not getting 3 points. We're gutted because obviously he's a big player for us and had a knock-on effect probably for the next 10 minutes of the game. We had to shuffle a few things, but obviously we send him our best. He's in there now and we hope that it can be as quick as possible. But obviously with an injury like that, it's going to be a long one.
As you say, it had an effect on everybody, but the O's battled hard and in the closing stages he came so close to winning it again.
Yeah, but the second half, it stunk of third game in a week, second away game in 4 days' time. We was really poor second half. I thought at times in the first half we were good. We played through them. And obviously the big chance of the game, the best chance of the game. They had one where he hit over the bar, but, you know, Sully's through one-on-one and has to tidy his touch up. We're disappointed in there. Everyone's down. We feel like we've lost the game, you know. And before this, these have won four and a bounce at home. It's a difficult place to come, but in the first half, for the majority of the first half, we had it on the way that we wanted to play the game. And the second half, too many long throws, too many free kicks given away. Again, we have to grow up where when opposition change, we just hook things on, stop messing about in silly areas, play around corners, play forward. You know, we've just never done that. So, all in all, did we deserve to win? Probably not. I think probably they could have nicked it at the end, but I think all in all, a lack of goalkeeper making saves. Their goalkeeper's pulled off a great save in the last couple of minutes, so probably a draw was about fair.
And a clean sheet on the road, a solid defensive display.
Yeah, Sol's in really good form, and defensively, even though we had to change it late on because of the way that the game was going, we wanted more pressure higher up the pitch. We had to change from a back five to a back four. And obviously with Rob Hunt out, we've just got a little bit, you know, the injuries are mounting up a little bit too much now, so hopefully with a rest in terms of FA Cup next week, we can, in terms of the league format, then hopefully in 2 weeks' time we'll have a few bodies back.
Injuries and suspensions. Is that a fifth yellow card for Jordan Brown?
No, fourth.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about Rob Hunt? How bad is that
calf,
injury?
10 days, so not overly major. Should be fit for the next league game. But, you know, we had a really settled back five. You have to chop and change, which kind of hinders it. And when you get these free game week, they are difficult, especially when you've got you know, the last of the three games away from home, it does, you know, our planning is limited. Most of training's in terms of rest and recovery, so I thought we kept going, we kept obviously defending our box, and I thought our supporters were great, but we didn't do enough in the final third, especially with the amount of chances that we have to slide people in. We end up shooting from 25 yards when the easy pass is there to slip people in. So again, it's just we keep going, we keep getting better, we keep improving.
Tom James worked hard after taking quite a knock to his knee.
Yeah, I thought TJ was good. I thought he was one of our better players. I thought him, Dan Happen and Brandon defended well. They had a couple of chances, but it was only a few long balls in the box and a ricochet. And then we couldn't quite get the second ball. So I can't remember ever opening us up. So again, I think I'm a little bit tired today. Been a long week. So you imagine how the players feel. I just think that it's that inexperience. We just need to keep better and keep working, keep getting better.
A break from the league now, as you say, with the Cup and Carlisle. How will you approach that game?
To win. We approach this game to win. We approach every single game to win. Because from what I've seen in the league, it shouldn't scare any of us. Okay, some good teams, Bolton, Portsmouth, Barnsley, but I just don't see it. You know what? If we had a bit more firepower, more goals in us, then we could do a bit more damage. But you know, we need to score more goals.
Would you be looking to use the squad and give sort of other players a chance in the Cup?
Well, hope potentially Max Sanders might be back. Obviously, brilliant to see Darren Prattley come back today. Omar Beckles potentially might be back, and then obviously Rob Hunt. So we just need to get through the next two or three days, evaluate where we're at. You know, in terms of our attacking options, we've obviously got enough front players with Ruel and Piggott, with Shaq and with Driz. They can all play centre. It's just we're lacking a little bit the wide areas. Jaden Sweeney now needs to step up, because in the coming weeks we're going to need him. You know, and we're just at that stage where teams always get hit with two or three injuries on the bounce, and we just have to come through.
And finally, you already mentioned, but the supporters really made themselves heard.
Not again, it's third game in a week. Second away trip, it was fantastic on Tuesday night without a drum. Today they obviously had the drum, and it was brilliant. But you know, we've got to take the chances. Like, if we score one of our good chances, the game changes, and that's what good footballing teams do. When you're on top, you score, the game changes. They can either sit in and you can dominate the ball, or they get impatient, you can pick them off. When you're a football team and the goal doesn't come, they're always going to have that threat of long throw, set play in your box. But no, our supporters were great, stuck with us, fantastic at the end when obviously singing for the club and the players. But no, I'm just disappointed that we're not sending them home with 3 points.
Thank you, Richie.
All right, no problem.
Thank you.
All right,
there you go. That's Richie with our friend Mr. Dave Victor, and talking a lot of sense. And let's just cut across, because you were at the ground today, Darren, and you went to one of these seminars, didn't you?
I was, and I did. And I have to say, I thought it was a well-organised event. It was something that Orient have got themselves involved with. It's a business at work event, Andy. I've been to a few of these before, and they can be very hit and miss, if I'm brutally honest. But this was organised by a company called, I'm going to get a little plug, because I did do a good job, Network Club.
Mm-hmm.
There was about, I don't know, 70 people there.
Yeah.
And we, look, if I'm brutally honest, part of my, was I'm a Leighton Orient fan. Richie Wellens is going to do a little chat. I'm in business. So I thought, well, I'm going to combine a little bit of business and pleasure here. So off I pop, got to Brisbane Road for midday. Richie came on and spoke about his time in management, particularly interesting from our perspective, his views on a certain Gary Neville, which I think, in fairness, he did cover quite well when we had him on as a guest, and he's been on other shows. He got asked a question by one of the audience, and then me being me, Andy, no flies on me, is there, in that respect. I'm always up for asking questions of people. And I asked him about Jordan. Mm-hmm. I said about, and he said a couple of things that I thought were quite interesting. He said that you look at our points tally before we had Jordan regularly in the team. And he said that we will look to replace him in January.
Mm.
So he was very positive, which you'd expect of a manager.
Yeah.
He's not changed his views on Gary Neville.
I take it they're not favourable. I've not heard what Richard said.
No, I mean, he said he learned a lot from it. And yeah, like most people in life, you learn more from adversity, don't you, than you do through success.
Is this like sort of a daggers in the back sort of scenario, is it?
He was just never allowed to get on with it.
Oh, right.
He was just never allowed to manage in a way that he should have been. So I think, in fairness to him, he's covered it before. Touched on Doncaster a bit, but what he said, the problem we had at Doncaster was not so much the board, was that they were operating on a Conference North budget.
Mm.
So he was good value. He spoke well. He spoke articulately. He did have to dash off to get a train from Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
So we were told that it was going to be lunch, then Richie.
It was Richie, then lunch.
It was Richie, then lunch. So bless him. Probably a few of us were a bit peckish by then. But well organised by the company that organised it, well supported, well organised by Orient. And if any business people are out there and networking is part of their job, go along.
Go along. Okay. Right. Well, thanks for that. Let's have this week's Victor's View, shall we?
Jordan Graham's injury is a huge blow to a talented player who was settling so well at Brisbane Road. It's a massive setback for Richie Welland's squad. Graham had provided 4 assists, the most of any Leyton Orient player. I'm wishing him a speedy recovery and looking forward to seeing Jordan back in the side, tormenting opposition for defences. As we approach the first round of the FA Cup, now is an appropriate time to reflect on where we are. After 15 league games, the O's nicely balanced. 5 wins, 5 draws, 5 defeats. Tuesday night's results saw Leyton Orient slip 2 places to 14th. But you definitely get the impression that Leyton Orient are looking to what's needed to climb up the table rather than the dangers that lie below them. That's because of the relentless search for improvement that Richie Wellens demands, demonstrated by the fact that a 5-match unbeaten run that has seen 3 successive draws, each regarded as a wasted opportunity to challenge those in the top 10. Our most recent draw came at Burton Albion, of course, a much livelier clash than the blank scoreline would suggest. The O's and the Brewers, 2 of the lower scoring sides in the mid part of the division, and on Saturday it was easy to see why. Both managers will feel that their team created enough clear-cut opportunities to win it. Another outstanding defensive display, another clean sheet, and once again Brandon Cooper was my man of the match. Now attention turns to the cup, and an extended run feels long overdue. There is no doubt that in recent seasons, promotion has been the focus and the priority, but this campaign feels different. The O's yet to progress beyond the first stage of any knockout competition under Richie, and on the face of it, the visit of Carlisle United appears the more likely to see Orient change that than the visit of Portsmouth in the EFL Trophy on Tuesday night. Leyton Orient currently bottom of Group M on 2 points, Pompey top on 5. 2 clubs progress, Gillingham on 3 points face Fulham's youngsters on the same evening. Finally, on the subject of knockout tournaments, congratulations to Leyton Orient's youngsters. Smith Kowalski's last-minute goal securing the victory over AFC Sudbury and booking the O's into the second round of the FA Youth Cup.
Well, thank you, Dave. And just touching on that Youth Cup, once again you were there, Darren. You can't keep you away from Orient, can they?
No, I really should get a life.
we didn't say a word, did we, Barry? We were just sitting there.
No, I'm
politely
just
thinking,
incredulously.
What a good fan Darren is.
Absolutely, top marks.
Well, do you know what? It was an enjoyable evening. Fair play to AFC Sudbury. They turned up with quite a few fans. I think a lot of them were family friends.
Obviously,
and
yeah,
family
yeah,
of the,
yeah,
the players. But they were very jubilant and noisy when they scored.
Yeah.
So, again, me being me, I ratcheted up my getting Orient when we got the first goal.
Did you say your klaxon? Did you tell you?
I didn't have a klaxon, though. I didn't say an
what's them things they used to rattle?
Oh, we're not that old. Well, that's you.
I thought Darren might have one.
Rattle.
Well, no, but I'm full of admiration for the lab of the drum.
I think the collection should be reintroduced. I think probably self and safety now. You're not allowed to
who's got
let
the drum?
It go in someone's
it's not
ear,
Roper,
right?
Is it?
No, but Matt did in the 90s, didn't he? So yeah.
He couldn't play. He's not going to get it any better, is he?
What, play what, a trumpet?
The drum.
What, Matt with the drum? No, he was awful.
Yeah. Can we have a kid with a trumpet in the North Stand? I don't know why, but he was good.
There's a drummer in the South, isn't there?
Yeah.
And he wasn't allowed it at Northampton, bless him, was he?
Yeah, that's right.
I've said before, full credit to them lads. But going back to the game, back to IFC Sudbury. I've got to be honest, Orient fans, come on, let's go and support these games a bit more. Let's get out there. And it was £4 to get in.
Yeah.
I think £3 if you're a season ticket holder. So, yeah. Where else can you get a night's entertainment for £3?
Yeah, I mean, it's
a cup of coffee from. Cost more
than that.
No, I think it's more a case of getting there, Darren, than that. Getting in the ground.
Each their own. I enjoy seeing what I hope to be. The two that sort of stood out for me was the front two. The lad that got the two goals for us was Rion Smith-Kouosi. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
I haven't done the youth too much, so I wouldn't know. But no, it sounded good. It sounded great.
Ashley Caroma. Yeah. No relation, apparently.
No, I saw him. I think he played at Brentwood in pre-season, I think.
Yeah. I think he's a lad that, given time and given, dare I say, the right conditioning.
Yeah.
We'll go. Listen, they all did all right, and I've only seen them once before this season, Andy, and let's be honest, it would be silly of me to judge them too much over a couple of games.
But this is what we're saying. Somebody put the idea through, I think it might have been Jaden Christie, when he was speaking to Nigel, and he said, why don't you put one of these, games on after the first team, on the Saturday? And, where were they having the women's game on afterwards before? He said, why don't you put the academy game on, if it can be done? I think that's a fantastic idea.
We all agree it's a great idea.
Yeah. I mean, if it can be done, there may be logistic reasons
why it's another way of getting people in the ground early, spend money in the ground. All I can suggest, you're right, there must be some logistical reason why they can't, some FA, EFL law or something, because it would make so much sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah, people already there, like you said about getting to the ground on a Tuesday night or whatever, well, they're already there. So, more people would stay than the 10 otherwise.
Barry, you might know this better than anybody else. Have we still got the use of the changing room facilities over the other side?
I don't know that better than anyone else, no.
Sorry, it's all about
the score. I think you give me too much credit. You mean the score, Senna?
Well, no, because the only logistically thing I'm thinking about is on a first team game day, it's all about the first team.
Yeah.
So you can't have the first team sharing the dressing room with, for example, certainly not the women. So there's got to be four dressing rooms, hasn't there?
Mm.
Yeah, which is not the case, obviously. And there's no room to expand.
I don't know if the old ones are functioning on the other side, are they?
That's my point.
Yeah, I don't know.
If we've got that facility, then that would overcome that.
The old dressing rooms under the old
East Stand.
But the youth team games, I mean, I've always tried to get to a few games a season. And they are good value.
The thing is about a youth team, if you go and see, you will see, what we've got, Dan Happy, Jaden Sweeney, Moses Adebayo, loads of people come through and play to the first team.
Yeah.
So it's not like you go and watch a Chelsea one where you just never see him again.
Yeah.
So you do get to say, well, I saw him first, when you go to a youth team match and you see someone rising star. So it is, if you are committed like Darren, it's worth it, isn't it?
Well, also, bearing in mind, lads, a lot of the best youth team players are currently out on loan. Picking up experience of men's football.
Well, I did a youth team game last year, and Charlie Pegram stood out, and there was another player, and I really wish I could say, but there were two players that stood out, and they both got contracts.
Abiri?
No, it wasn't Abiri. Yeah. I think it was someone else I'll think of as I'm driving home tonight.
Right.
But you do see some good players.
Another person who was at Burton was Steve Tung. Now, I chat to Steve earlier. I've got to say, it's a pretty bad line. It starts pretty poorly, and I think it improves slightly, but it is a pretty distorted line with Steve. But we're going to give it a whirl, and hopefully, it's not too bad. Well, we're joined on the Orient Hour, and it's always nice to hear the dulcet tones of Steve Tung. How are you, Steve? Good. Now, obviously, you're busy, as we know, first of all, with your book. How's that coming on?
Had a bit of a hiatus, all sorts going on. The walking football season has now come to a close, competitively anyway.
Orient have done very well in the various age groups in the Essex League, so there's a bit more time, and I'm going back to research on Yorkshire football and getting much more up to date, which is more interesting. All those familiar names and teams and so on all coming back to us slowly.
Good stuff. Now, you were at the match on Saturday, so your impression of that?
Well, dull, really, to be absolutely honest. I know a lot of people really enjoyed the trip because what I've noticed, when it's a new ground, a lot of supporters do seem to come out, and I suspect the programme sales were better than normal for this game. I mean, what was a bit worrying from Burton's point of view, there must have been nearly 1,000 Orient there, and the attendance was 3,300. I was actually staying overnight with friends in Burton who, funnily enough, know the Burton chairman vaguely, and they said, really, he just doesn't know what to do now. He'd be very keen just to get somebody else in because he thinks he's taken them as far as they can go. Of course, they actually got up into the Championship. When you see the sort of gates they get, it was a remarkable achievement. So they've been overachieving for some time. As people who went there will know, it's a perfectly reasonable little ground with four stands, and above all, unlike the O's, they've got an awful lot of room to expand. But as the chairman has said there's no point in trying to expand when you're getting crowds of 3,500, and you know, 1,000 of those are visiting supporters. So the other thing was, I mean, Derby, where all my friends have actually historically always lived there but have really supported Derby, he said, well, when Derby are away on a Saturday, they normally pick up some extra fans at Burton, but I'm not even sure they did that at the weekend. So people, I think, enjoyed the trip for other reasons. Of course, the team is the Brewers, and the town is known for its breweries, and I think some Orient supporters had made full use of that. So it was a good day out, I think, for most people, but a disappointing game. I was pleased that Richie Wellens, in his interview, didn't put any sort of gloss on it. As he said, you know, it was really poor second half. And the terrible disappointment, of course, of Jordan Graham's injury, which is going to cost us a bit, I fear, for the next few months. So, same problem. Again, good to hear the manager say we need more goals, because that's self-evident. I think I probably said even the back end of last season in the programme that we weren't scoring enough goals, and that would be a worry. 14 from 15 games. I know we've had an imbalance of home matches to away matches at home and 9 away, which doesn't help you. But, you know, 6 goals in 6 home games, that was always going to be the problem. I think the new system with 3 at the back and wing-backs, and effectively playing 2 up front when you've got, say, Ruel and Piggott up front, that's what's needed, really. You've got to be much more effective with 2 up front and 2 attacking players in the wide positions. So, theoretically, I don't think there's anything wrong with the system, and given the players we've got, I would say he was picking the right team most of the time. I don't think too many people can argue about that. But the goals just aren't coming. That's the problem at the moment, as some of us feared it always would be.
Well, it's something you said at before the start of the season, that you worried that was going to be the case.
Well, yes, because last season, when you're the runaway champions like we were, and you're only the 6th or 7th highest goal scorers, that tells a tale in itself. So, as has often happened in the past, however far you go back, that our most successful teams have been built generally on a successful defence rather than a free-scoring attack. And so when the defence moves up a division, and it's been pretty much the same players, apart from Brandon Cooper coming in, who's been excellent, they're going to concede more goals, they're going to come under more pressure, and that hasn't been bad at all. I mean, conceding about 18 in 15 games is not terrible, considering we had matches like the Portsmouth 4 and 3 by Wickham, goals by Wickham early on. So there's no great complaints about the defence. I'm quite happy with the goalkeeper, and it's really been the problem in attack. And of course, if Dan Agge had been fit, then we don't know how well he might have done. Maybe Jordan Graham wouldn't have been playing so much, but Jordan's been excellent. And terribly sad, the injury to him.
And so we're going to have this period now where one of them is still out injured and the other one hasn't come back. And don't forget, Dan Agyi, you know, once he gets fit, we'll have to get match fit and he'll have to get up to speed and he'll have to get used to the rest of the team and so on. So I would hope people won't expect miracles from him immediately. And so that is the problem, you know. As Richie said, if we had a bit more firepower, well, we could be pushing remarkably high up the table. But, you know, let's not be too negative about it all. 14th place after those Tuesday matches. I think most people would have settled for that at this stage. An exact sort of record of 15 games, 5 wins, 5 draws, 5 defeats. And given the start we had, which everyone knew was going to be difficult looking at the fixtures, I think they've actually come around quite well. It's just that one thing, which I think we are going to hear, sadly, a lot more about till the end of the season. We need more goals, as the manager said.
Well, hopefully something will happen in the January transfer market to alter that. But overall, Steve, you're not too disappointed.
No, I mean, the problem with January, obviously, we know, is that it's hard to get people in. You know, if there's going to be a really good goal scorer at League One level, why would any team release him? Unless we can pick somebody up from a higher division. And even then, you know, we might have to move one out, say. It's not going to be easy. I was just thinking back. I'm sure that Danny Johnson, when he came in January, didn't set the world alight in that half a season. It was only really at the start of the next season, if you remember, through to Christmas when he had that purple patch. And we've not made many outstanding signings in January for the reasons that the manager and Martin Ling have often said. You know, there's a reason players are available in January if they are available, and it's generally that their club doesn't want them. And then they've got to fit in that short period. So, again, I wouldn't hold out too much store. I think we'll be looking at Dan Agyi coming back as soon as possible and seeing what he can do. And although you would expect him to be played out wide rather than actually playing through in the middle, whether we can get some goals there.
All right. Well, thanks very much for joining us, Steve, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Pleasure as ever. All the best to everyone.
Thank you, Steve.
Right, well, sorry about the quality of that call, but it's the best we could do with enhancing it there, I'm afraid. I don't know what went wrong, but there we go. We do have some fun on the phones, don't we? Earlier today, I did catch up with our old friend Adrian Whitbread, and Adrian used to be a regular on here, didn't he, at one point? But I think since COVID came, he's been a bit tied up with coaching in various places, and we haven't touched base at all, so it was good today to catch up with him. And you've been in the studio, haven't you, with Adrian before?
I don't recall being in the studio with him, but I certainly have listened to every show we've ever put out, Andy, I think. So, pretty much. So, yes, I have had the pleasure of listening to Adrian.
Do you get the feeling that Darren Stronach and brownie points tonight?
Yeah.
Every show you've ever done, I feel it's
every
right.
Show.
Every
show. It's about 350 shows.
Every away
so,
game. Yeah. It's just because I said, did you go to Carlisle last time? Yeah. And he said, and I think he's trying to get.
You're the greatest, Andy.
You're some expert. that ain't going to work. Because everyone knows you're lying now.
Everyone knows there's no start to my talent, so I always say that.
Honestly, Damien, you know how many ribbing you. I think it's fantastic you go all these games. I really do. Honest.
Okay.
No, I don't. That was genuine.
Right, enough of this joviality. Let's get serious. Right, let's catch back up with Adrian Whitbread. We spoke earlier this afternoon. Good to catch up with one of our former players, an old friend of the show, Adrian Whitbread. How are you?
Yeah, good, Andy. Not too bad, mate. Long time no speaking, I think, isn't it? You know, I think there's been, we just spoke, touched on it before we went live, is that the pandemic hit and our paths haven't crossed and we've been over to Warren for a bit of time, so lots going on post the last time we met.
Yeah, I mean, so that's what I really wanted to catch up with you about. So you've been a busy man. You've been running these coaching schools, haven't you? They've been quite successful.
Yeah, you know, we've actually opened up more of them now. We do them in Upminster, Chigwell, Debden, Loughton. We've now got an affiliation with Leighton Orient, doing one over at Snaresbrook, and we do overseas now, you know, through the half-term period and summer holidays. So it has been very hectic, you know, outside of the kids going to school. But it's been good because we've had good numbers, and long may it continue. So, yeah, been really good, along with my own personal stuff, in line with Campione on a Monday evening. That's still taking place, but other stuff that's gone on in the background, I haven't been able to do the Tuesday nights anymore, but that's something that I may pick back up on if I can.
Yeah, I mean, this Campione, have they got links with clubs so that they're feeding people in, or how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, every kid that sort of comes and, you know, has got an affiliation with a football club thinks that it is a way. It's probably not from my angle unless someone asks me the question. You know, I don't actively go and put a player into a club, but I give them my experience of, you know, how it all really started with myself and the process. You know, the game has changed a lot now with developmental academies and this, that and the other, and people do source my advice in regards to that, because sometimes it's not really a true affiliation with the football club, but just an easier way of a football club looking at players to then maybe promote them from within, rather than the old school fashioned way of scout seeing you play on a Sunday morning or playing for your representative team or Essex or whatever it may be, to then be invited in. So it has changed a little bit from that angle, but you know, some of the training I feel has most definitely paid off, and maybe my guidance towards players, two of the girls that I've coached, one has actually gone into Leyton Orient, and I got a nice message from a girl that's actually now been in with Spurs and travelled with their under 21 team to play and will be involved in a cup game recently as well, and she sent me a nice message of, you know, saying that, you know, if it hadn't been for my guidance and advice, then you know, a pathway may not have taken the turn that it has done, but I don't put it down to me. I never have done, never will. It's down to the individual and the player, and you know, that's why it's always good for me that it's not just boys. You know, it's, as we all know now, it's an equal world, and you know, two of the girls that had come along to the clinics with Campione and the personal development stuff that I do on a Monday night have bear fruit with it, and you know, they've hopefully got the start of a successful career.
Yeah, so you wouldn't rule out managing a women's football team?
No, not at all. You know, I'll be totally honest with you, when I first actually did it in 2018-19, I ran a girls' clinic for the very first time, and it scared the living daylights out of me, and because I'd never done it, and I wasn't sure of what I was getting myself into, you know. I think girls are different from boys, but they're not, you know, they just want to play football, and it was probably one of the most enjoyable coaching sessions I ever did, because the girls were very attentive and wanted to listen, whereas boys, as we all know, I've been there myself, just want to kick a ball around and continue to play, whereas the girls seem to, you know, feed off your every word that you're talking about.
That's always good. Now, we obviously got some new listeners to the show since we last spoke, and some younger people who might say, Adrian Whitbread, where do we know it? Well, just to run through quickly for them, 89 to 93, you were very much a part of Leyton Orient, weren't you?
Yeah, you know, my progression actually started when I was 12 years of age, and this is what I talk to the young players about, you know, of how I managed to get into a professional football club, and they don't believe it when I turn around and say to them that I was playing for my district team, as what it was back then, in Harlow, which was a League X1 of players, and we went over to Orient and played in a game, and my team got beat 13-0. So I picked the bones out of that one. How do you pick a defender out that's just lost 13-0 to an Orient team? But someone saw something in the qualities that I had, and you know, this is what I tell all the players, and I think sometimes they don't believe me when I turn around and say, you've got more ability than I ever had when I was a young player, but what I had was my attitude, was the way forward for me, and it always has been, and it always will to this day. And if they can marry that with their ability, then they're giving themselves half a chance.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you moved on from Orient and you ended up with Martin Ling at Swindon, didn't you?
That's right, yeah. I mean, and obviously John Gorman. John Gorman was my youth team manager, along with Patsy Holland and Bernie Dixon back in the day, you know, stalwarts of the Orient coaching staff. And John obviously took over from Glenn when Glenn went to Chelsea and had his... Swindon had their one and only year in the Premier League, and John came in and bought me off of Orient, and I guess that was the start of me progressing my career outside of the lower divisions at the time, and kind of never looked back, and was very fortunate to play in the Premier League and probably consistently more in the Championship.
Yeah, I mean, you had a spell with West Ham, of course, and then on to Portsmouth, and then spent a while out on loan, and then entered the management world. And, of course, it was one that took you abroad, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, look, my footballing career took me on a path of, let's be honest, post-school, I had no idea of what I was going to do academically and as a job, because pretty much then, back in the day, it was straight out of school into work. And I was very luckily... blessed with the fact that I managed to find a pathway into an apprenticeship scheme at Leyton Orient, which took me through my playing career. And then unfortunately, when I did retire, I'd already gained my qualifications in my coaching badges and went straight into coaching with Martin Allen. And then in 2008, went off on my travels overseas, you know, for probably pretty much the last sort of 10, 15 years. And, you know, I've only been back in the country actually post-pandemic as, you know, the world was shut down and it affected me like everybody else. You know, I found myself back in England, and for the foreseeable future, that's where I shall remain. You know, I'm now coaching in a Bishop Stortford football club, which is local to me. I've been asked to go in there and help out with Mark Hughes and Steve Smith, the manager. And kind of that, with the last 6 months, that's really come about because I've been obviously working up at Kingsland and Conference North as assistant to Mark Hughes, which unfortunately didn't work out. But, you know, we got on well together. He's linked up with me again, you know, asked me to come in with him himself a week after being introduced as the assistant. So, you know, I've been in there for a week now, and it's going to prove a challenge, but it's a challenge that I'm very much looking forward to.
Yeah, I mean, the two clubs, we're going to come on to that, because obviously recently you know, were appointed over to King's Lynn, but that was a club, unless something's happened there, it was very much on the slide, wasn't it, recently? And... has that been arrested, that slide? I mean, are they still in a bit of trouble there?
Yeah, they're still down there. You know, they haven't had the manager bounce. If you listen to his interviews and take much out of them, well, it's a bit of hearsay, she say. But that's football. You know, we were very unfortunate. And I'll be brutally honest, people say, oh, well, that's just the normal, that's the way it goes, you didn't win games. Yeah, we didn't win games, and so, you know, when you don't win games, you're always, you know, got the chance of losing your jobs. But we had a horrendous run of injuries to key players. When I'm talking about key players, I'm talking 5 out of the 11 starting players, and then 2 further suspensions of 2 red cards in consecutive weeks to lose 2 more players for 3 games. And... you know, it was a whole different squad from what Mark had last season. You know, you could say the leaders of the group had gone. You know, there were still good players left there, but when you lose that amount of players from not retaining them to have another go at crack at promotion, and you know, not being disrespectful, but probably replace them with a lesser lights because of the budget that you've been given, and it's always going to prove difficult. You know, we weren't far away. You know, we played, I think it was 10 games, drawn 5, lost 1, drawn 5, won 1, lost 4, and then we lost our last 2 before we actually were dismissed. To me, it wasn't a problem, because I get it, it's football, I understand it. But I felt more for Mark Hughes, and let's not get them mixed up. It's not Mark Hughes, the Manchester United ex-player. It's Mark Hughes, ex-Tottenham and Barnet. So,
yeah.
You know, I felt more for him. He was a young manager given his first job. And I do honestly believe, with given a bit more time, he would have been okay. You know, results haven't miraculously picked up for them since we've left, and you know, they've got those players coming back, or are back, which would make it would have made a big difference. But you know, it is what it is. We wish Kingsley all the best. It's football. I'm onto something different now, and I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah. So I mean, this is a club, Bishop Stortford, that they speak of a new stadium, isn't there?
Yeah. Again, I'm finding my feet, Andy. So it's, you know, I'm getting to know all the players' names. I've pretty much got that nailed down now. You find out a little bit more. You talk to supporters. A good friend of my father's was at the game, the Warrington game, 2 weeks ago, which I was just going on to watch. I wasn't going there with the intention of looking to get a job. I was just going to watch because it was a Saturday afternoon and I wanted to get out and watch some football. Mark had just gone there, so I wanted to show my support, and he sort of mentioned that there'd been talk of moving to a new ground. I don't know any more than that. I've heard the rumours. I don't know whether it's set in stone, but you know, the initial setup that they've got at Bishop Stortford is very good. If it is to move to another stadium, then you know, they're going to be in a good place. But at the moment, you know, position wise in the table, we're not in a good position. We've not had a good run of results. So you know, it's my job to support Mark and Steve, and if they ask my opinion, I'll be honest about it. You know, but they pretty much, you know, it's down to those two guys. I'll just chip in with what I see and what I hear, and take it from there, you know.
Okay, well, good luck with it, Adrian, and we hopefully won't leave it as long to speak again, and hopefully we'll catch up soon. I think there may be something happening in regard to the 35th anniversary of the of Orient's promotion, so I don't know. Were you in the squad for 89, or was it the year after?
I was an apprentice then.
That oh, you won't get an invite then, you won't get an invite.
No, I just had the toe and the bunk in through the back door. That won't be the first or last time. But no, I was there for it because I was an apprentice.
Yeah, I know, so, you were for that, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, for me, they were the best days ever. You know, supporters standing, you know, and you know, the players supporting in the old stand on the far side, you know, standing on top of the hoarding in front of the director's box. You know, I remember the kit vividly, the small kit with Comet roofing. I think it was Comet roofing.
Yeah, it was.
Comet roofing, you know, the kit. And you know, I still speak to some of the old players, and I've seen them when I've been over at Orient, so I've kept in touch, and you know, it's always good to see them and catch up with them. So that's something I'll keep an eye on, and then maybe I'll just sort of make a guest appearance.
All right, mate, and we'll let you know next time we're meeting up at the ship at Gideon Park. So thanks very much, Adrian. We'll see you soon.
Sounds like a busy period. Thanks, Andy. Take care, mate.
Bye-bye. Really good to catch up with Adrian earlier. There's been a long while since we spoke to him. We were just talking as that was playing out, and Barry made a very valid point. When Adrian was playing, Darren, the crowds were typically around about the 4,000 mark.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're all old enough to remember the crowds in the early 80s being around 2,000
mark, yeah.
4,000 by that time was all right, wasn't it?
Progress.
But yeah. I mean, it was not great, was it, seeing the stadium half empty? Contrast that with today.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. And I mean, over 8,000 for every single home game, I think, of this season so far. And I think the capacity of the stadium is only around 9.2 or 9.3 now because of these safety issues in the East End, I think, isn't it? So, you're virtually a sellout. I mean, it's technically a sellout when you sold the season ticket seats. We all know there's gaps.
I think in real terms, the capacity is now 8.7.
Yeah, so, yeah, we're virtually full. And, I mean, have we discussed that before, the season ticket exchange thing? Because it's always good to have bums on seats, isn't it? You know, it's a shame when there's gaps, but technically they're sold the seat. But an Orient are, they do have a scheme, don't they, about if you can't use your season ticket, you know, give it up. But I think there's other clubs that run a successful scheme. Someone was saying the other day that there's a successful scheme run by another club, whereby you have to give your ticket up if you're not attending or something like that.
Is it Brentford?
Something like that, yeah.
I think you should notify if you're not coming.
Yeah.
And that allows them then to, you know, if you say seat, I don't know, A23 or whatever, and A24, we won't be here, basically. Yeah. And there's a web page for that, you know, that you can go on and register you're not coming. They can sell the seat.
The scheme they've put in place is a yellow card thing. If you don't turn up for so many games, they will give you a yellow card and a red card.
That's right. That's and then you don't get priority for next season.
Yeah, but you've got to be careful with something like that, because that could be down to somebody in a family not being well or something. Well, you know, it could be a serious illness for somebody.
I'm sure that there's provision for stuff like that.
Yeah, I think things like that, I'm sure I've read about that at other clubs where it's backfired, where someone's been extremely ill and possibly,
if you look at it from a club's point of view, yeah.
But I've had the money from the club's point of view.
But they're not getting the money. Because they're not buying a programme, they're not buying a pie, they're not buying a pint.
No, yeah? But there's no guarantee they would have done. So.
And there's other people that could go in them seats.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's better to opt to notify.
The clubs. It's damaging the clubs, Andy, because they can't then grow their support.
Hmm.
It's not good for business, basically.
But if you don't turn up, three times and you fail to notify them three times,
I think it's about notification.
I'm talking about when someone's not turning up for half the season.
Yeah, well, that's when you made the season tickets too cheap for kids and whatever, and they don't bother coming.
I think wasn't it about notification, though? But you're right. I think you had to notify them, and if you didn't turn up, and I think that's what it was. So it was quite fair.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, you know, because the trouble is when you do a discount, there's no real compulsion to go because the investment you've put in is so tiny, five or ten or anything. Oh, I can't be bothered.
It wasn't that long ago. We had people buy the seat next to them and put their bag on.
Mm.
So yeah. We've moved on from that.
Yeah.
But we need the club.
There's no way to refer to my...
Don't go there.
Right. The club need the revenue. And they need to, all clubs, not just Orient, they need to be able to maximise.
Of course they do, I know that, yeah.
Especially when we're talking about the stadium and its current limitations, if you like. That's a way that you can maximise revenue.
Yeah, I mean, I never knew what I didn't just buy a pub or one of the empty pubs and take that over as a Orient pub, basically, and keep all the revenue. And the supporters would have used it, I'm sure.
We touched upon that, didn't we, with Nigel?
Nigel went, nope. What does Gilson know about real estate?
To be fair, Andy, the problem with that, per se, is then what do you do on non-match days? You've got a pub there. You can run it as a business. So I appreciate that, but they're in the football business. They're not in the
hospitality business.
So I kind of understand why they
could have had rooms above it, rent out.
I get why they didn't want to run with that idea of yours, Barry.
Barry,
sorry,
yeah, blame Barry. If it's a bad one, we're
blaming
Barry.
Me, thanks.
I talk about bad ideas. Here's Matt Roper.
Welcome back to another rant. Which, let's face it, there isn't a lot to rant about. Unless we want to talk VAR or the EFL. We are, barring half an hour versus Oxford, a third of the way through the campaign, and we occupy a healthy mid-table berth. Is it good enough? On the whole, I would say, yes, it is. But we shouldn't want to settle for such, or rather we would like to see a higher middle eight position if we can manage it, as acceptance of possible mediocrity can then lead to a dropping off of performance and results. After a real baptism of fire at the start of the season, we seem to have got to grips with this level and have shown we're not here just to make up the numbers. The division is very tight at the moment, and two defeats could see us plummet towards the bottom four, whereas if we had put the Barnsley and Northampton games to bed, then we'd be at the dizzy heights of the fringe of the playoffs. That's amazing. A cup week probably couldn't have come at a better time, to be honest, as the injuries are starting to rear their ugly heads again. Firstly, we lost Max Sanders a couple of weeks ago after he'd had a hugely impressive 120 minutes before Rob Hunt, who capped his fine return with a goal, was then confined to the treatment table. And then, of course, the biggest blow of them all was when we lost Jordan Graham for what could well be the rest of the season away at Burton. Make no mistakes about it, this guy is going to be a big miss. Clever, sensible, great crosser of the ball, and very much one of the brightest sparks this season. What with him and Dan Agge still missing, it's a real dent in our attacking options. But with it being November, there is little else we can do but roll out of our sleeves and meet the challenge head on and get on with it. Going forward and or scoring goals has been a bit of an Achilles heel this year. We can certainly play some very attractive football through all thirds, in fact, but sometimes that final ball and or coupled with the striker's movement and or decision making and finishing means on several occasions we've failed to capitalise at 1-0 up. I'm pretty confident in saying, and of course because the games have gone there's no Jonah moment here, that had we taken a 2-0 lead in the Barnsley and Northampton games, then we'd have had at least four more points on the board. yes, you don't have to score a second to win a game while keeping a clean sheet, but 1-0 is, of course, that horrible, dodgy scoreline. And you can have all the positive stats in the world in your corner, but one set piece, one worldie, one penalty, and suddenly you are pegged back and dropping 2 points. How do we solve it? Well, there isn't another transfer window for 2 months, and of course the board have pumped a fair amount of money in already. It's also very difficult, as we have what's seen as our new striking sensation in Dan Agge out for a good few months, and no one can tell just yet how good or bad he'll be. The one thing I do know is that if we want to ship in that talisman striker, then aside from taking a punt on a non-league scoring sensation, or a rather green 19-year-old from a Premier League club, it will cost serious dollars. Martin Ling once told me, as did Matt Poulter, that the hardest position to recruit for is a striker. If he has a proven track record, then he almost certainly won't be a free agent. The club he's at won't want to sell. And the third point of the devil's triangle will be that it's going to take cold, hard cash to get him coming to E10. It is, however, all part of the process, and it's a process that surely most, if not all, fans trust in after 6 years, two promotions and a more stable footing in League One than, say, just 8 weeks ago. And it shows we are moving steadily in the right direction on most fronts. So it's Cup Week this week, and whilst injuries are mounting, it's a game I still want us to go out and win. The one thing the club won't want is a draw and another trip to Cumbria. But despite the continuous undervaluing of the FA Cup, it's a trophy that can still bring a great deal of magic and, dare I say, money, which could really assist in the three-year plan and maybe that striker people are crying out for. Therefore, and whilst we want to put on a show for the faithful this weekend, it's all about one thing. Get your ball in that velvet bag for Monday or whenever the blooming draw is these days. Up the mighty O's.
Thanks very much, Matt. He knows I didn't mean it really about that beforehand. Good man. Thank you for the report, Matt. And another rant. Not really much of a rant, to be honest. Just a nice little article. And we quickly look at Saturday and the FA Cup, Barry.
Yeah, I've really considered a swear word from Matt, wasn't it? Blooming. You don't need that very often, though, no. Do you? Getting yourself in that blooming bag. Yeah, I think a lot of Orient fans would love a cup run this season. I think I said it last time out, that if we are to achieve mid-table, which will be a good season, then what would be a great thing is to have a cup run, you know. We've got a good side. There's no reason why we can't get to the third round and give the fans something to remember, especially now we're getting good crowds and that.
So your prediction for Saturday?
I think we'll win. I think I'm not sure what sort of side he's going to put out. I'm really not.
He'll go for it. He's got to go for
it. Yeah, I think so. It has been muted that we would like a cup run, so I think we'll win. I'm going to say 2-0 on Saturday. I think we've got Carlisle's number a little bit, I think.
Darren?
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. I think we'll win. I think we'll win comfortably. Mm. They are in a bit of trouble now.
Mm-hmm.
And they are also racking up a few injuries. So it's a good opportunity to play them, good time to play them, I think. I don't think they'll welcome the cup run this season, personally.
Okay.
So I'm going for 3-0.
3-0? I'll go with Barry's 2-0.
By the way, Andy, go on, quick. One more thing. Jeff Titanga, the other youth team player, remembered it before I went home.
Oh, thank
That's
you.
The other player. He's good.
Have a great week, everyone. Up the O's. This is our club. We are proud. So sing it up and sing aloud. We were formed in 1881. The claps in Orient had so begun. The old story on it runs. We're late and Orient from E10. Every challenge has come our way. The Orient faithful are here to stay. We will live to fight another day. We're late and Orient from E10. Late and Orient from E10. Yeah. We're late at Orient from E10. Late at Orient from E10. This is our club. We are proud. So sing it up and sing it loud. We're not a city. We're not a town. We're the only one of us around. Yeah, you know where we can be found. When Saturday comes again, we're trying to do our best to cheer all those on who wear the vest.
ever challenge, we'll ever test, we'll lay an argument from each end.
On the hour, across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM News.